Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
We are in a small cafe on an alley in Norway.
You ready?
Yeah.
I don't know. It just tripped me up. All right. Welcome to Right Lane, a podcast of the Tampa Bay Times. Each week, Times reporter Lane DeGregory discusses her stories and answers your questions. The focus is on craft. My name is Maria Carrillo, and I'm the enterprise editor at the Times. Recently, Lane and I went to Norway at the invitation of Bjørn Nord, who runs a narrative conference in Bergen. Bjørn is a talented writer who launched the conference 3 years ago, and it's grown every year. This year, they attracted about 250 people who were hungry for help and encouragement. Lane and I asked Bjørn to talk about narrative work in his country and also to discuss the project he published earlier this year, a story called 5 Feet Under. It's about a skier trapped after an avalanche and the efforts to rescue her. We'll post a link to the English translation with this podcast. Today's topic, narrative in Norway.
Okay. So we're going to make it easy for you. We just want you to talk a little bit about... talk a little bit first about the conference and how this evolved. Why you did this, why you got into this.
Well, it started in 2016, the winter of 2016. It was a huge crisis in the industry or the media news organization here in Norway as well. So there were huge cuts. And actually at that time, many of my colleagues lost their jobs, and at that time I got an email from Mark Kramer, which I think those who are interested in narrative journalists, many of them in the world and in the USA, they know him. He is the man behind the conference in Boston, and he was about to. He had built up a conference and helped to build a conference in Amsterdam, and now he suggested to do something in Norway. And he got my name from a Danish professor, and so that was the start. He wrote a quite long email about himself and came up with this idea of doing a seminar or something. And then we started to chat. And the day, it was a certain day, it was a day when, it was the darkest day I feel in my paper's history, because or as long as I have worked there, and maybe in the history of the paper, because it was the day people was, many of our colleagues, we got the hard message that they had to quit, or yeah. So that was the day we decided to start up or go for a conference. Yeah. So for me, it was a personal, very strong personal motivation. It was like fight or die, or like shut down the magazine department, and they would shut down the magazine department. A best friend photographer, he left the paper, and. At one point, I thought about quit myself in one way, because I've been a journalist since I was 16 years old, and I started to be conscious about narrative in 2004. I love this; it's my life, and I've read stories, I think stories. So it was very hard. But when you lose your friends and everything feels ruined, and you get those kind of depressive thoughts. But I'm also a fighter, you know, and I believe in this and the importance of this work. And I felt that I have some of the stories I've done have impact and change. So I decided just to try out and fight for this, what I believe in. So the first year, we built up a conference in 2 months. I got support from the local university, a very engaged professor there. She helped me to she supported it, the foundings, and also in other organizations in this organization in this city. So they supported financially and with some organizational help and a location. So we invited people to come with a brief program compared to today. We had Tom French coming over, we had Mark, we had several good Norwegian speakers. One is in the board right now, Thomas Albu. And we had a 2 days conference. And we planned only for 50 seats the first year because it was the first time. And yeah, but we sold out and we have to extend to 70 first time as well. And it was a very, very good experience. People were, came with lovely feedbacks and gave a huge motivation to continue. And a spirit. I think the spirit started out then, and with Mark as Mark Kramer as a mentor. Just after a few months, we started to plan the next conference. And those organizations decided to support us next year too because of the success first year. So, and last year, second year we did it, we had 170 with 16 speakers from the United States and from Denmark, from Sweden, from Portugal, Norway. Yeah, a terrific lineup that year, and some of all of them top reporters, world class. Some of them also, or many of them, and now we are here for the third time, and nearly tripled. 260 we have this time, and with lovely speakers from the United States, the best ones, and the best one from Denmark, and some good from Norway, and a Swede, and one from England, yeah. And it was such a magic event. I think this was the best. So I think in this year, year by year, we have experienced that all the biggest news organizations, they know attend, and we got some terrific feedbacks last year. Some said it was the most inspiring conference they have been to, the most useful. Our goal is to be not that big, not the biggest, not the most glorious, or we want to be informal, we want to be useful, the most useful one. We want to be open, we want to be humble, we want to include. Yeah.
And, So you've been growing kind of the narrative bug around the country. You've been helping to inspire people to
go there. I hope so. And that's, if you look on the feedbacks last year, it felt like we helped the spirits. And this year, I was overwhelmed because there were feedbacks all the way from the day one, from the first session to the last session, on the party. People came and hugged. And speakers came to me, you as well, and I saw you enjoy, and I saw the hugs, and I saw the conversations. And also people said one big part of this is to come together with others who share the same passion. And that is what creates the real magic feeling. And I think that is also creating the power and the inspiration. And the mix of this served this new great work. I hope and think that we'll grow many big projects and really important work out of it.
So what personally drew you to narrative? And was there a lot of narrative writing going on in Scandinavia when you started doing it?
Yes, not a lot of, but I think there have been narrative writing for years back to, but I think the consciousness about it has increased the last 5 to 10 years, and even more after this conference. And I hope so. I feel so. but it's hard to measure. We have missed a place to gather and to... I think the answer is we sold out after a few weeks. We could have probably more seats, but that to me it's like a hunger for it, and yeah, I think that's the best answer on the question. And I think the consciousness about it, and if you can call it, maybe it can be a kind of more like a wave, or we establish more culture for it, more. That more news organizations can establish their own culture. Some already have it really good, some of the papers, biggest ones, and they have it when they need to, what you say, they need to take care of it, they need to
nurture,
be aware of it,
yes.
They need to be conscious about it, they need to point out maybe a group of reporters and one editor with that special skills, and who gets the responsibility to recruit new ones, and yeah.
Do you have a hard time selling narrative to your paper, or how did the people at your paper think about that?
I think we had a narrative community in the paper before we had to cut, but I think we are about to build it up again, and the new editor for our magazine, he is actually very open and positive for this. He went to Pointer a few months ago, and he is a very skilled journalist himself, and he's curious about it, and I'm positive. I think it's possible to rebuild after a cut. It's possible to come back, but I also hope that it opens up for more collaborative environment that we can share with and cooperate with journalists in sister papers more, because this work needs more more unity, more like that too. It's very hard to succeed when you feel alone in a news organization. The more people who are share your passion and the basic knowledge and get better skills step by step, it's like you pull you challenge each other in one way, and you learn from each other, and we make each other better step by step. So by sharing, it's you will be better yourself if you share. That's my experience. Yeah.
What draws you personally to narrative? What do you enjoy about the form, and how do you think it's more effective than other storytelling?
Why I think it's more effective? Several reasons for that, but I felt immediately when I started up this that I started to get a lot of more. I felt the reader engaged more from the first poor article I made with more consciousness. But and I also when the digital age came, you could really measure these things. So it was like that when you did those stuff with quality and dedication, and you pick the right stories and theme, and you could see you scored better than any other stories, and the reason is like that. It's, of course, it's like you talk to the reader in a different way. It's more like a friend. It's about humans. People love to read about other people and human stuff, and it's the total of all the skills you use in when you write this stuff that reaches out. And, yeah, I don't know if that's a good answer, but for me myself, I feel a lot of more engagement with readers when I just twist and do narrative things. And I tested it out at an early stage. I did one article one time with traditional, and then I went on narrative, and it was like an explosion compared to the traditional one. And
I assume you feel more challenged as a reporter trying to do narrative work, right? Like it's a higher degree of difficulty and...
To write narrative?
Yes, to write narratives.
Yeah, but for me now it's the it's like that. I think it even can be harder to do a news story sometimes now because I want to do
everything as a narrative.
Yeah, so sometimes I put in the narrative stuff in the news and confuse the editor a bit by that.
Talk a little bit about how readers react. Tell me about some of your readers' reactions to your narratives.
The readers, they... what I should do now... I should quote one, should quote them, but they take their time, they write even emails and of course a lot of messages on social media. They are very engaged in their feedback, pointing out why they like the piece, and they also point out that the readers are smarter than many journalists actually think about, and smarter than the journalists themselves. And they point out also how skilled it is done, actually. So it's fascinating. It is. Because today, people tell stories themselves in social media. And to tell stories is to actually talk to each other in a way. They write more like they do when they talk to each other and have a party or dinner or meet up at the bar, as you say, where they got good ideas. So, I think they can connect. They see themselves, of course, more in narrative work. I would love to quote one of the feedbacks I have, if you are interested. They are actually...
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Telling me the last piece I did, I'm telling me that they couldn't stop reading. They missed the gym and the tour at the gym and stuff like that. But that was a quite special story, though. But yeah.
And we'll include a link to the story in the podcast. So talk a little bit about 5 Feet Under. And you were saying how you got the idea in the first place.
Yeah, I got the idea from a news story. Yeah, it was a plain news story about an avalanche in the mountains of Norway, near Hardangervidda, it's called. And a young woman were buried 1.5 meter or 5 feet under beneath the snow, and it was quite a plain story about that. Her name wasn't mentioned, she was anonymous, and so then I started to be curious, because I searched up the report and I got the details about it, and that I never heard that a person had survived in Norway for more than so many hours beneath the snow. And I actually started, when I found out the piece itself, the news piece, didn't say it was 5 feet under. It says it was like half a meter or... Yeah, so I searched up, because I got kind of... I started to think cinematically when I read this report, even though it's a report. And I started to think, wow, if I get like goosebumps by reading an academic report, what can I do when I write it a narrative line with narrative skills and tools? So I saw a huge potential out of it from the first, because it had its sensational dimension, but all those universal dimensions with volunteers rescuing her, and a group of friends on tour, and father and daughter, and human against nature, a dog and human. There's so many universal connections here, so many things to identify with, and so many great, yeah.
Did everyone at your paper see it too? Like when you started saying, boy, I really think there's a great story here.
I told about it on a very early stage to my editor at that time, and he immediately responded very positive. He saw the potential, and if I got the access, he said we should put all our efforts into this, and we should try to use all the tools we can. We should do it with a digital approach, cell phone approach, using. We should search up and try to find out what kind of other tools we could use to fill in, because it looked very, the potential was so huge in it, with all those dimensions I mentioned, the dog, the rescuers, the volunteers, So then I got obsessed. That was not easy, because I couldn't. I had no phone number. I had no email, and I had to go through the police at Geilu, the local police officer. So I wrote an email, very detailed about me, where I'm working, what I wanted to do in. How my approach would be. I would do it in a narrative way, a detailed way. My main goal was to lift the volunteers in Norway and the work they do to rescue people, first of all. And that was the kind of thing that gives a higher meaning for me to do it, a motivation. And motivation for them also to put so much resources in the story, because this is important stuff. Mm-hmm. It's important for the society, and it's important to rescue lives. It's based, the most important thing in the rescue system in Norway is they can't manage without the volunteers. So I wrote that, and it took a week. And then I was at the bar together with the board from this conference. Actually, we were we summed up the last year's conference. This was in the spring of 2017, and I got this phone call from Germany, a German man with an accent. He spoke English with a German accent, and was very friendly. Hi, this is Uwe Lange. Calling. I just wanted to say we have read to your email, and we really loved your approach, and we want to share the story in the way you suggest. We have said no to everyone. We have been offered money for this, but we don't want any fame. Our motivation is to lift up the important issue you point out and share. So it started like that. With that access, we took the next step. That was to first connect with the dog, you call it dog handler, the man who trained the dog. And so we visited him when they were a group. They are a group of dog handlers. They meet up a couple of times per week. They train to exercise 20 hours a week. More than an athlete, nearly more than an athlete. So we met them there in the mountain, and he was quite shy the first time. So it was just to connect and show them that we paid interest to their work and wanted to enter their world and their environment, so we could understand how they work and how dogs act. So we saw the dog, we spent 2-3 hours with them in the forest, and we took photos of the dog, because we thought that if we brought photos to Germany at the first meeting with Adina and her father, that would break the ice. So we traveled to Germany, to Berlin, and took the train from Berlin to Leipzig, where she studied. And her father, Uwe, picked us up, and we drove to her apartment. She had a baked cake, a chocolate cake, and had the tea, and there were two cats were in the apartment. And she was quite nervous, I remember, but very friendly. And then we just sat down and we just talked and bombed away and had coffee and strawberries. And then we said we wanted to show her some pictures. But before that, we saw a very interesting detail on the wall. And that was a drawing of the rescue dog Ted. So she had a drawing of Ted, but she had never seen Ted before. Because when she was found, she wasn't able to connect. She was like, I can come back to that, okay? But that drawing she got at the hospital, when she woke up at the hospital in Oslo after the rescue operation, and they flew her into the hospital, and one of her friends in the company, in the tour group, she drew Ted. She made a drawing out of Ted by seeing him on television and in papers, because they broke it and there was a news about the stories. And they were in the children's room at the hospital, so she took the pencils and the stuff from the children's room and made that simple drawing. And when she woke up the next morning, the drawing was at the side of her bed, at the table. So that she told us that. When we saw that, so I got that detail revealed a lot at that stage. So the next thing we did was to start, just because it's so far away, usually I don't start interviewing people, or more like we have more like a conversation. I like more conversation way than not formal. Every time I try to connect by conversation, and then if I need specific things, I go into more interview movies and get those things. So what I did was to we had this conversation, we had this cake, and then we took a walk in the park nearby, and then she talked a lot more. She liked to walk and she liked to hike, and then we went back, and then we asked if they had some photos. Oh yes, they had, and he had also photos of her father, and he had been to Greenland with his buddies, two of them, his best friends. They connected on Greenland on an expedition there when they skied over Greenland. So they got the idea to go on this tour to Norway after this tour to Greenland. And so he wanted to show those photos as well, because it was a part of the background in this story. How the idea came up when this man at around 50 years wanted to share the joy and the adventure. That idea came up, and then Adina asked also, she had the same idea. So we got a lot more talkative when they saw those photos. So we got more and more and more. It started already at the first meeting there.
So it was seeing the idea, and then it was getting her trust, and then, yeah, you know, really. And you explained yourself. You said, yeah, "Here's what I'm trying to do here," yeah, and then
again,
that's
I did.
That's what I was hearing, a lot of work going into the pitch.
Yes,
what's in it for them? What kind of story you want to tell?
And that was the reason why they said yes, because it was so thorough. It was so detailed description of what the plan, what we were doing. And I also said at the first meeting, if we are going to do this, and if you and you have said yes, I also need to know. I also need your patience. This will take time, and the more time I get, the better quality I can do. So that means I cannot force you to say it like that, but I can. I need this. I need to feel like that I am safe with doing it. And for such a long time, because we have competitors that will probably try to reach you, and at the first meeting they said no, we are going to do the story with you and your paper, and so they shut down the other requests from that time.
How long did you work on the story from idea till print? How long was that?
In total? In total, I would say it took me 5 to 6 months. Yeah. And after this meeting, I also started the research process, more like gathering and his facts and background and logs and all you need about the factual things also, and audio and yeah. So and start writing in September. So I wrote for. First, I did the outline, and then I got the coaching. Yeah, from I coached by Skype with Tom French. Yeah, on structure. I wrote it in Norwegian first, and translated it into English, and sent it to him. And then we met face to face on Skype, and he was interviewing me on Skype, and when he. I could hear his typing when we talked, and he asked me those questions as a coach do, and he sent this purpose to proposal to the outline to me, and then we discussed back and forward, and yeah, ended up first with three parts, but I extended it to four.
And real briefly, talk to us about the reader reaction and the prize you just won.
Yeah, the readers' reaction. I remember that day. It was first. I had some idea that it could be a very positive reaction. Of course, you feel when you have a good story, and you have those test readers. Good. So, but when it came out that morning, I started first. What we do here? Did you catch that?
Yeah.
We started out in. I stood up that morning. It was a Saturday. So I here we need to share the story in social media. So I got access to all those groups related to the team rescuing groups, dog handlers, organizations for Red Cross. So I spread it to them at 7 in the morning, and then I went out skiing. And it was a county or a ski town, a town 1 hour by car from Bergen, Voss, it's called. So we were skiing, and I took up my phone, and after 1 hour, I was so curious. I decided not to care too much, I said to myself, but I couldn't. I was so curious. So. And then I saw it just bum, 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 bum. With messages, with reactions, with phones, it starts ringing, and yeah, so it was like, yeah, and it. I remember the last message came on an email from a colleague in NRK, and that was really. He took his time and wrote a long email. I could read it to you, and his final quote in that: "I hope you get an award for this."
And you did.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Tell us the name of the award.
The award is, you know, my paper is in a company, the biggest news company in Scandinavia called Schibsted Media. Schibsted Media owns the biggest papers in Norway, VG and Aftenposten, and big papers in Sweden, Aftonbladet and Svenska Dagbladet, and regional papers in Norway. So it's a competition in this, and the category best storytelling. So it was a very, yeah, it was quite, and for me, it was worth a lot, because this is the only category with storytelling in Norway, or else it's put into the, yeah, we have to compete with all other stuff. So this was this storytelling category. Yeah. I'm glad.
Yeah.
We're proud of you.
We are. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Okay. If you have a question for Lane about any of her stories or would like to suggest a podcast topic, please email it to writelane@tampabay.com. That's writelane@tampabay.com. And please join us next week on Wednesday morning for the next episode. This podcast was produced by Denise Keenan. Music was composed and performed by Dan DeGregory. Thanks for listening.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.